Safe to say plenty has happened since we last spoke, from open training sessions, media days, to friendlies and not so friendlies. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sophie.
And this is G'day from GOTB. Right, quick fire since the last episode. I feel like loads has happened in a short space of time. Hit me, what have we got?
We were at Ireland's first open training session during the week. I think it was on Wednesday in Brisbane, which we will delve into a little bit later. But the main takeaway from that was that Katie McCabe was back in full training, which is what every Irish person wants to hear right now.
Yeah, that was. We got a lot of questions about that. Then we had a media day on Thursday, like a mini media day in the England camp, where we had a round table with Serena, which I sat in on. Some lovely pieces have come out from that, from our colleagues in the media. And you sat down with Jess Carter.
Yep, and our piece on Serena as well is going to come out soon.
Spoiler alert, Sophie, that's coming later. And what did we do yesterday? This was pretty cool.
So, yes, we have been touring around Australia because when you're here, you have to do some of that too. It can't be all work, work, work. So we took ourselves off to Fraser Island yesterday. It was a whole day out that started at the crack of dawn. That's a very Irish phrase.
You can tell I wrote that.
But we took ourselves out in a four-wheel drive. We went along some sand.
A lot of sand.
A lot of sand. Sand everywhere. Still in my shoes as we speak. But yeah, drove along the big highway on Fraser Island. We saw some dingoes. We saw some whales. We went into the rainforest as well. And
I saw some kangaroos.
You saw some kangaroos. And you dipped your toe into Lake Mackenzie as well.
I did.
So, yeah, doing a bit of touristing as well. And we did make it back in time to catch Australia against France and all of the drama that unfolded in the Ireland against Colombia match.
Yeah, and then today, which is Saturday, we had another open training session with England. So, plenty for us to talk about in episode two. First of all, rewind back to that first Ireland Open training session. We travelled down from the Sunshine Coast to Brisbane, a bit more of a formal affair, I guess you could say, because I think the Irish camp had asked FIFA to kind of organise this, so there was a bit more rules and regs around it. I think the fans had to get tickets to attend, which is a shame, because numbers, I think, were a bit lower, because it was a bit more awkward to get to. But needless to say, there were some Irish people there. You were listening in to a chat with Vera Powell with the media. Tell us about that lovely quote we picked out.
Yeah, she was in really good spirits, as you would be. I mean, I think the whole of Ireland pretty much is very, very excited for what's happening in the week ahead. But she said something that I think really encapsulated the Irish spirit. And she said, "Something proves only to be impossible the moment it shows to be impossible. We've had a fantastic programme to prepare ourselves and we give our all. But we have to be realistic. It's our first World Cup. We do not have as many players as others do. But we have a fantastic group with a heart for Ireland, and that is immense."
Oh,
I think
that
just sums it up, doesn't it?
I love that. She went over to speak to the fans. She kind of gave them a little run through of what they were going to do in training, which I thought was quite cool. She spoke about like how some players were on different post-jet lag paths and stuff like that. So not everyone was doing everything. And then we got to speak to Lucy Quinn, Denise O'Sullivan and Louise Quinn. Now, for the clips that we share in this episode, I think it's important to bear in mind that the fans were very, very close to where the media were having their conversations, and the media were very, very close to each other. So I feel like we could pick up some of the other interviews going on at the same time. So in advance, I'm apologising for the background noise. But it's fair to say there's a kind of a different vibe in this camp, understandably, from, say, England. Not that England aren't excited, but like this is the excitement is palpable.
I think it was really interesting as well how they were training. Because it was very clear from the way that they were training what their plan starting 11 was for that opening game against Australia, and just the way that they used the exercises and the different groups of players. So maybe if you didn't know Ireland as well as maybe what we do, you might not have picked that up. But it was very clear the way that they're focusing and what their plans are going into that. But yeah, a lot of excitement, a lot of joy, I think, is the right word. A lot of happiness. They just want to get going.
Yeah, and we first off spoke to Lucy Quinn about how she's feeling. Not to put the pressure on, but I did ask her, understandably, about possibly the most important match in Irish women's footballing history. Here's what she had to say.
Stay next week, you'll be prepping for the biggest match in Irish footballing history. Yeah. Does that give you goosebumps just thinking about it?
Yeah, it does. And that's what we wanted to do. And when I heard that we were going to be in the opening game and when the draw was made, I just thought that was an unbelievable opportunity, you know, all eyes on us. And it's the first time we're here, and you know, what a moment to make people back home kind of proud. And yeah, I think we're all excited for it, and I think there will be nerves, but it'll be good nerves. So obviously that's on the stage that you want to be on.
Have you thought about what the atmosphere might be like? Because there will be a lot of Irish fans.
Yeah, I think people might be underestimating how many Irish fans there will be and how many Irish are just about in general. So yeah, I think it will be an unbelievable atmosphere, and I think that we'll have quite a few numbers and maybe people weren't expecting that. So yeah, I can't wait to see it, if I'm honest.
I totally agree with her in terms of underestimating maybe how many Irish will be in the stands. I actually think there's going to be quite a few, at least I hope there will be.
I think we've said this from the off. I think there are two underestimations going on. I think people are underestimating how Ireland would perform.
Mm-hmm.
I know they are the underdogs in the group, don't get me wrong, but I think we've seen from the qualifying campaign that they can compete, and against, in those friendlies against the USA as well, they're definitely very much able to compete. They have quality within their ranks. They can score goals as well as defend, and while they're a tough tackling team, they have the quality to turn games and to surprise, I think. And I think you underestimate Ireland at your peril.
Mm.
And I totally agree that, you know, when I lived here for those 8 months about 13 years ago, I met more Irish people than Australian people in Sydney. So that sort of sums it up, I think. Kind of the expat community over here as well as the travelling Irish. I think it's going to be a bit of a loud one next Thursday.
I can't wait. We also spoke to Denise O'Sullivan, and we can't really chat about her without talking about everything that's gone on with their friendly against Colombia, which happened on Friday evening. And this is all kind of from what we can get from reports coming out of camp, because while media were originally allowed in, it was quite a last minute decision. Colombia decided they didn't want media at the game. Can you give us a brief summary of what's happened or what we know?
I think that's a little strange, changing your mind at last minute. From what we know, they played, I think, about 20 odd minutes of the game. There were some tough tackles, I think. I think there was one on Little John that left her in a bit of a discomfort, and took a while for the game to be restarted after that one. And then there was another then on Denise O'Sullivan, which was the real worry, and she was taken off to hospital to check for an injury on her shin. Thankfully, today it's revealed that there's no fracture or breaks, so it's just big bad bruising, and hopefully that can be recovered in time for the opener. But yeah, a big worry, I think, and a bit of drama that you don't normally see in these kinds of friendlies, that, well, they're games, and I think we saw it as well in the Australia-France game. Probably not the comparison, I can't compare the two, but there were some really feisty challenges going in, and I was a little bit surprised by the sort of level of competitiveness, given that these players are, what, a week out from the tournament that's the pinnacle of their careers, and they're flying to challenges like that. It was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, we did see Salma Basha stretch it off as well in that Australia-France game. We'll come on to that, but yeah, it was really unfortunate to hear that. It's also just not noise that teams need right before a World Cup. It's not something they need to be stressing about. And from what Vera Pauw said, you know, players were very concerned and she'd not really seen them like that before. Now, of course, we weren't there. No real media was there. So it's very, very hard to know exactly what went on. I think there was, as far as I'm aware, two yellow cards given in the first kind of 19, 20 minutes. So it obviously was quite a physical game, and I guess maybe not something you would expect from a pre-tournament friendly so close to the start of the kickoff of the tournament.
I would also be really interested, I know we'll never see these challenges, but for two yellow cards to happen in a behind closed doors game maybe speaks to the level of challenge that was put in.
Yeah, because we were talking about this, it's often in friendlies referees are less likely to give red cards or yellow cards, because I guess in the meaning of the name, it's a friendly, it tends to be not relaxed, you know, everything's competitive, but you're right in saying that we often don't see that kind of level of bookings maybe, or a desire to dish out cards. So yeah, you're right, we'll never see it, I don't think. But yeah, it was very unfortunate, and I think the main takeaway from all of this, because when I saw those reports coming out that Denise O'Sullivan had been carted off to hospital, I thought, that's like for Ireland to lose her, they can't afford to have any match where they don't put out their strongest 11. So that was a big worry, and I think a lot of candles were lit last night in Ireland, and they seemed to do their job, because as you said, it wasn't a break, it was a bad bruise. She's in a boot at the moment, I think, to keep the weight off it, and I think they're probably taking it day by day. But I think, you know, there is real positivity in the camp that she will hopefully be back for Australia. And I think, as I said, we did speak to her. And I just think, like, a player like that, she deserves to be there. Every player deserves to be there, but a player like Denise O'Sullivan, and I feel like that game deserves Denise O'Sullivan in the number 10 shirt. Here's what she had to say about playing Australian and playing in front of that big crowd that's coming out.
Yeah, it's going to be special. Look, 82,000 fans are going to be there. I think for me, they're the games I want to play in, those pressurizing games. I think I perform my best in those games, so I'm really excited. 82,000 is going to be absolutely class. Yeah, we'd rather that than 20,000 in stands. It's probably going to be hard to communicate a bit, but we'll take it all in, and yeah, we'll do the country proud.
So yes, maybe we'll light a few more candles for Denise just to really make sure that she actually starts that game. So the following day we had, as we said, a kind of mini media day with the Lionesses. I was in a round table with Serena. It was a very nice kind of relaxed sit down with the media that were there. Learned a little bit more about her. It was quite a personable chat, which was nice. And as I said, some nice articles have come out, and you'll be coming out. You'll be bringing yours out soon, which I'm looking forward to reading. But you also got to chat with Jess Carter. How was that?
I did. We just had a sit down for about 10 minutes. Learned a bit more about her life in camp, kind of her development this season, and, you know, how she kind of deals with that kind of versatility in defence, and both at club and country as well. So, yeah, really good to chat to Jess, learn a bit more about her, and... I expect her to do pretty well this tournament, I think.
Yeah, fingers crossed. We've kind of switched. So I did the sit down, you did the sit down with Jess, and now I'm editing the video and you're writing the article. So that will be out on our timelines very, very soon, so keep an eye out for that. And finally, another open training session today with the Lionesses. What was this one like? Because obviously the Lionesses played Canada.
They did. They played yesterday. It ended 0-0. It was behind closed doors. It was roll-on, roll-off subs. Whenever I read that, I'm going to go, that's disruptive anyway. But probably good for players to get more minutes in their legs. What now? A week until the opening game. So probably more information for Serena as well. Mm. They all look so relaxed and content at training today, especially when they came to talk to us, scary bunch of media. They all seem super, super relaxed, super content, super happy with where things are at. So... within camp, it does seem to be quite a content place to be. And it was a fun training session, wasn't it?
Oh my God, some of the games they were playing, there was one game, they all stood in a circle. Not everyone had a football, but a lot, or did everyone have a football?
Yeah, everyone had
a football in this big circle. And then they had a big, if you can imagine those, you know those big bouncy balls you use for like doing abs in the gym or whatever? They had that in the middle. And I feel like the objective of the game was to have someone get kind of hit by that big bouncy ball, and you had to use the football at your feet to try and kick it at the big ball and like move it around the circle. But of course, if the ball's coming at you and you haven't got a football back at your feet, you're kind of screwed. So there was a lot of fun being had. There was also header tennis or whatever that is. A lot of laughter, a lot of kind of, as you say, relaxation. And I think that's probably what you expect from a training session right after a match, like the day after a match.
Yeah, I think Serena's spoken, hasn't she, about the players not being robots and being allowed to enjoy themselves, and I think they were very much doing that today.
So we then spoke to Ella Toon and Alex Greenwood, so there's some more content you can expect to see on our channels. We gotta eke it out, guys. We're not gonna like put it all out straight away. The tournament's starting soon, and when that starts, I feel like it's going to be hectic, so we're trying to like give you little bits here and there every day to keep it going until the football actually starts. Speaking of football starting, we actually watched 90 minutes of football yesterday.
Yeah, it seemed like forever. I mean, it has been forever. For people that, you know, watch 4 or 5 games a week, it's been a long...
Champions League final?
Yeah, so that was like 3rd of June since I last watched a football game, which, you know, I think I needed. I needed a bit of a break after the last 18 months, but also now, when we sat down in the bar yesterday to watch Australia-France, I was like, I'm ready to go now.
Yeah. And what were your thoughts on that game? They had 50,000 turn up for that, which is a really good
send off for them. I think there's so much buzz around the Matildas at the moment, especially ahead of that opener. And I thought it was a really entertaining game. Like, both sides could work on their finishing. They were a bit off, but you'd probably expect that. Like, I think it's France's second friendly because they played Ireland, and I think it's Australia's first friendly. So there was inevitably going to be rustiness, like there has been with every team, but they look good. They're on both sides, they were pushing forward. It's like full of life, very lively, And Australia are going into the World Cup in perfect form. They beat England and then they beat France. So you can't really top that.
Yeah, it wasn't a brilliant first half from Australia in terms of actually putting chances away. But they made some changes in the second and they seemed to look more potent. You also have to factor in that, like, I feel like, as I've said this before, you just can't read too much into these friendly games because you've got Sam Kerr coming off at 60 minutes. You know, you're not going to have players staying on for as long. And, you know, then, as you say, it disrupts the game a little bit. So wouldn't read too much into it, but it actually made me more positive. Not that I wasn't positive about Australia before, but I actually thought, you know what, maybe they can go on a bit further than I thought. And then it made me think France, maybe they won't go as far as I thought. So it was an interesting one.
Perhaps on a less positive note, there were those two big injury worries, one for Australia, one for France, at the end of that game. Tamika Yallop came on, I think she was a second half sub. She came on at half time, and she was just running against an opponent with the ball and her knee jarred, and she just never looked quite the same.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw it happen and she went down, I was like, that could be nasty. And then she tried to plough on, couldn't do it, came off and hobbled off with a massive bit of ice around her knee. So that's probably a big worry for Australia. Even more worrying, I think, is the Selma Bascher injury, which just, you know, it happened in the 96th minute in a friendly and it just seemed completely
unnecessary.
And you could see Ellie Carpenter, bless her, her teammate at Lyon, she was in tears because Selma had to be stretchered off the pitch. It was a knock to the ankle, a really bad one. I think I read somewhere or was told by someone that the scans have come back without the fracture, but I'm not an elite athlete, but I know my ankle ligaments very, very well. I'm very, very, very familiar with them and they are nasty.
Oh yeah, you've done ligaments years and years ago and you still have problems with them. I would like to think though, Selma Bascher's commitment to recovery and retraining those ligament joints might be a bit better than yours, but agreed.
I don't know what you're talking about, Rach.
In such a short space of time, you're right, it is a worry, but they have said they're going to keep her in camp.
Yeah, she was in tears. The way that she was carried off that pitch. Hopefully she probably won't make the opener.
Yeah.
Hopefully she'll be okay for the group stages.
Well, not to end that on the sour note, because there was lots of fun things that went on this week. And what's next for us? Because it kind of feels like it all starts from now. Like, we're off to Sydney tomorrow. When can our listeners expect to hear from us again?
Probably on the 21st of July, because we will have just done Australia against Ireland at Stadium Australia, packed out. I know you're getting goosebumps just thinking about it. So, yeah, we will be back to talk to you then.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, we'll light more candles. Bloody hell, we'll have no candles left. But we will hope for a positive result for Ireland. So hopefully when we next talk to you, I'll be very jolly.
We'll go to the shop and buy some candles now.
We will. Speak to you then, guys. Thanks so much for listening.